from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Bay Buchanan has spent a lifetime in conservative politics. At 32, she was U.S. Treasurer under Ronald Reagan. She stood by her brother, Pat Buchanan's side, for his three presidential bids. Now she's solidly in Mitt Romney's corner. Less well known, she was also a divorced single mother of three boys from very early on. It was hard. This tough political pundit found a lot that did not fit into any neat political bucket in that experience. This hour on Point, we talk realities of single motherhood and politics with conservative champion Bay Buchanan. You can join the conversation. Have you been there in Bay Buchanan's shoes, a single mom raising children and trying to pay the rent all on your own? Tell us what you think of Bay Buchanan's rules for making it through. You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Later this hour, we'll hear from a son who on Mother's Day celebrates his father, who raised four boys on his own as a single dad. But joining me right now from Washington is Bay Buchanan, who you may well know from her long career as a political pundit on television. She served as United States Treasurer under Ronald Reagan, is now a senior advisor to Mitt Romney's presidential campaign. She's president of the American Cause, where her brother, three-time conservative candidate Pat Buchanan, is chairman. The group promotes smaller government, lower taxes, and free trade. Her new book is Bay and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mother. Bay Buchanan, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Tom. It's wonderful to be with you.
So you're U.S. Treasurer at 32. It sounds like a gold-plated highway. You know, people are going to say, what kind of problem should she have? She's sitting at the top of the heap, just barely out of short pants. But you say that you write, I was thrown, dumped into the world of single parenting, and it wasn't easy. What happened, Bay?
You know, Tom, I felt the same way when I was 32, as you described. I thought, whoa, this is wonderful, you know. No
top of the world.
Top of the world. Things are going so beautifully. I was quite a happy person, content with my life. But I was delighted to get married while I was Treasurer of the United States. Had two boys a few years later, pregnant with the third. Mm-hmm. And my husband left. And I thought to myself, how in the world has this happened? Because not only was I at the top of the world at 32, I had this wonderful childhood. I was one of nine children, big Catholic Irish family, mm-hmm. my father, mom full-time at home, taking care of those nine kids, running the house, and dad, a very strong personality in our lives, you know, at mm-hmm. the end of the table. I could never imagine life without my dad, and I wanted to give this great kind of childhood that I had to my kids, and it really was difficult for me to come to grips with the fact that he was so critical in my life. How was I going to be able to give my kids that kind of wonderful life without a dad in the home? And that's how it all began. I had to really focus that, first come to grips with the fact that I had to do something. I had to make a difference in these kids' lives. I had to compensate for the fact that they didn't have a dad, because I just couldn't let them not have a wonderful childhood. That was my responsibility as a mom.
Were you rolling in dough, Bay?
Oh, my gosh. Had no money whatsoever. I tell in the books, the first vacation, I really believed in vacation. But I had absolutely no money.
Even though your name was on dollar bills across this country.
I was on dollar bills. Oh, my gosh.
As treasurer, you were signing them.
I was. At first vacation, I had no money. My son, Stuart, was now a year and a half. I guess I waited until he was a year and a half. And I had no money, but I said I was determined. Vacation is part of the summer. It's part of our tradition. We're always going to go away, just the kids and I. Yep. And I ended up in Yosemite, sleeping in a station wagon because it was $55 for the week to park the car.
Yeah.
But and
still,
that's
it's Yosemite.
Thought.
That's not half bad. It's beautiful.
No, it wasn't. The conditions around me weren't too fine. But we had a vacation, and I sat in that car thinking, I used to be Treasurer of the United States. How'd this happen to me?
Right, with three kids, Billy and Tommy and Stuart. You know, you've got some really interesting observations on politics and how they worked and didn't work for you, the messages you were hearing. But let's hold those to the side for just a moment. We can all go there. We know how that works. Talk to us. I think a lot of people will relate to the learning curve that hit you when suddenly the sort of white picket fence vision blew up. You know, what came at you as a single mom with kids who were, what, like 4 and 2 and brand new? What came at you?
Well, you know, first of all, I you just go numb. You just get up in the day and you do what you need to do. But you start realizing this is how it's going to be, but you don't know what's going to happen next week or next month because the money situation, you don't know if you're going to have to sell the house. You don't want to tell people because you're embarrassed. I mean, my gosh, here you are pregnant. You don't have you know, dad's not going to be at house. So enormous emotional trauma hits you, and you know, you're very, I was at least, I felt very depressed, discouraged at night, especially. You're by yourself, you're worn out, you got the kids in bed, and then it would just hit you, and there you were by yourself, and this is how it's going to be for many, many years ahead. But then, you know, Tom, I started realizing, listen, I'd look at those little fellows sleeping, I'd say, they rely on me. And if I can't get my act together, if I can't take control of my life, so how am I going to get control of theirs? And I wanted them always to feel secure. I didn't want them to share this turmoil I was going through. I knew they had some of it because their dad wasn't there. They didn't need any more of it. So I had to make certain they knew I was in charge. I was going to make this happen. All was well, not to worry. And they were going to see their dad as much as he wanted to see them. I was going to make certain that they could have a relationship with their dad that was as positive as could be.
And that's your rule number one, is take charge. I mean, it's exactly. You. It's on you. So deal with, take charge.
Yeah, and you know, Tom, I met a gal who was in similar circumstances. I knew her previously. I knew she was married with kids. I just happenstance ran into her, and she kept saying to me, I'm such a failure. I'm such a failure. And I think that triggered something inside me. I thought, no, that's yesterday. That's all about yesterday. Don't carry yesterday into this new world. You're now a single mom, and you're not going to be a failure. You cannot be a failure because this is about your kids. You got to fight for them. You got to make certain you're going to succeed now. And that was my message to her. And to message to all single moms, don't take yesterday into this new world. Forget it. Who cares whose fault it was or what you could have done or what you should have done? It doesn't matter. All the what ifs, forget them. Now is your new life, and it's a good life if you give it everything. And it has to be done right because it's your kids we're talking about here, and they're the ones at a risk if you can't take control of your own life.
Well, look at what doing it right means. I mean, you say forget about yesterday, but the one thing, and you mentioned this, babe, but that you decided not to forget was their dad. You kept him in there, even though your own father, who you so admired, had warned you from the get-go against even marrying this man. He said, look, he left a woman before, he left three kids before, you'll be at risk. Even so, you kept him there. Was that a hard decision?
It was really hard decision. But you know, the thing I realized is, as I learned more and more about being a single mom, I knew that it was, dads are critical, and that having a dad in their home really helps children to thrive. And I knew all the studies said that. So I decided, look, I can't have him in my home, but I'm going to do everything I can that my kids have a dad in their life. It has to be the next best thing. I knew that was the most important male in their lives. And so as my second chapter, I said, don't badmouth the dad. Don't share all the ugliness of the divorce or the difficult parts of the marriage with your children. They don't need to know. That's between you and him. The key is give them a chance of a wholesome and healthy relationship with their dad. And the way you can do that is by speaking kindly of him, giving a chance for him to see him. If he calls Wednesday and says, I can't get the kids tonight, something's come up, can I see him tomorrow night? Don't say no, Wednesday night, that's it, that's your night. Let him see him Thursday, because it's not for you that you're doing this for. It's for your kids. And if they can have a sense that they can openly love their dad in their own home and talk about him, and you can say, oh, by the way, did you know that he was one great tennis player? Let me tell you a match I saw he played. It makes them feel great pride in being his son, and they can tell, I used to hear it often, they'd tell these stories to their friends. You know, my dad was this great tennis player. And it would make me feel good, Tom, that at least I was giving them the next best thing. I couldn't give them the dad in their home, but I was going to do my best to give them a dad in their life. And I think it helped to compensate for the fact that I was a single mom.
In some way, but I was thinking as I read this account, Bay, and it's emotionally something I think anybody can relate to here. But you were in a time, and this isn't like so long ago, just two or three decades ago, but here... where, you know, the sort of, these days people get divorced and then the dad's around a lot and it's a pretty easy relationship. I mean, it wasn't really like that. He was at some distance, sometimes far away. It wasn't exactly just, you know, still sitting in the kitchen having coffee every day with
No.
You know, it was tough.
You know, I know a lot of divorced parents are friendly and chat and do things together with their kids. It wasn't that way. I was really hurt, Tom. I will admit that. Very, very deep scars. And when I would see him, like even when he picked up the kids, I would kind of have to brace myself. Always, you know, pleasant, but never had any kind of lengthy conversation. And I'll tell you, there were some things I never got over. You go to the kids' little performances in school, and of course the kids weren't even in school when he divorced, so we're talking several years later. And, you know, you'd have first, second grade, a Christmas play or something, and I would go, and he'd be there with a girlfriend, and I couldn't enjoy myself. It seemed like a cloud came over me. I would sit there, and of course the kids were like, oh, there's Dad, and race over to him, and I'd be sitting there by myself thinking, how in the world did this happen to me? But you just brace yourself. You keep going to those programs, and you just know this is what's going to happen. But the kids want their dad at their programs too, so, you know, I'd make certain he knew about them. But it was not an easy thing. Other mothers, single moms, I think, are able to get over this maybe better than I did. But I really had some trouble with it. And even today, when people say, what's the thing that you regret most? And I'll immediately go to the fact I wasn't able to give them a dad in their home.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about life as a single mother and American politics with conservative pundit Bay Buchanan. She's out with a new book, the story of a big, big part of her own life. It's called Bay and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mother. You can read an excerpt at our website, see her 8 rules for single mothering there at onpointradio.org. Bay, some tougher rules here when it comes to work, and I was trying to think how people would hear this, but you say put the kids ahead of all else. We'll get to dating, but just on work. You know, if you don't have time to work and make a living and be home with your kids, then toss over the checkerboard. You say figure out a different way, but does everybody have the option of, I mean, how do you pay the rent and, you know, be there for all the soccer games and all the rest?
And that's the key. You know, I always wanted to be a mom, and I always said to myself, oh, I'm going to put the kids first, and, you know, they're going to be the center of my life. It's going to be such an exciting life. And then I became a single mom, and I had to revisit that commitment, because being a single mom meant and putting the kids first meant so much more than I ever imagined. And when it comes to work, there, of course, there's single moms come in all shapes and forms. And some of us, you know, have marketable skills and maybe on career paths, maybe professionals. And I find that often many of them who are doing very, very well have a real hesitancy to kind of get off the corporate ladder, to settle into one spot that would be a 9-to-5 or something closer to a 9-to-5. They're still driving to go up the ladder. And as a result, they're not home at night with their kids and maybe have to work weekends. If they can, just postpone that position and find one that allows them to provide for their children and be there with them. That's the key. For single moms, you have to do two things when you're working. You have to provide for yourself and your children. But secondly, you have to do it in a manner in which allows you to be with the kids. Then, as I mentioned in the book, I know there's some single moms, many of them who may not have worked for many, many years, suddenly thrown into the workplace, or ones that just don't have marketable skills because they never were able to attain them. What do they do? It's critical that you start thinking in terms of finding a position that lets you be home with the kids. It may mean going back to school, maybe a community college night twice a week. It may mean that those nights you're not going to see your kids. You have to ask maybe a parent, a sibling, or a close friend to work some arrangement out so that your children are with them, but they feel comfortable there because they're somebody close to the family.
Yep.
And then get that training as fast as you can. Get counseling. Talk to people. Talk to friends. Do you know any positions that I could do that would be closer to 9-to-5. Tom, in my book, I write of several people, of an attorney who she became a partner, I believe, just had become a partner when first baby was born. And she just felt such pressure because they were like, you got a bill, longer hours, because she wasn't putting in the same hours anymore. She had been an enormously effective member of the firm, but now they had pressuring him because she wanted to be home to see the baby before he went to sleep at night. And then she'd get home and she'd think, I hardly have seen this child. She finally decided, I got to get out of this, and she went and became a prosecutor, assistant prosecutor.
Better hours.
9-to-5,
hey,
government work.
But let me ask you, Bay, what about people who are nowhere near the corporate ladder or being a prosecutor? I mean, people who are cleaning houses all day and then maybe cleaning offices all night, half the night on top of that to pay the rent. There's a lot of Americans in that boat these days.
And my heart goes out to them. And there's no question that so many single moms have 2 and 3 jobs just trying to make ends meet. And I'm well aware of that. And that's where I think it's incumbent that somehow that they talk to people and see if there's some kind of a program they can get into. The state should have programs. People who are, you know, in that safety net. Clearly, what's in the interest of the state is to see that single moms are properly trained so that they can do a job that does let them take care of their children. That is the best for all worlds. And I know that in some community colleges with whom I've dealt, they work closely with the community and businesses. So the businesses inform the community college, look, this is the kind of training we need for some employees. We're going to be developing here and growing. Can you train some people so that we might be able to hire them when we're ready to expand?
I don't want to lose the personal thread here, Bay, but politically, you're kind of in that camp that people think of as wanting to tear those programs, those safety nets, you know, sort of limb from limb, sort of get rid of them. Less government, lower taxes, smaller government.
Absolutely. I can't help it, Tom.
Well, but you're telling the lady who's cleaning houses all day and all night to go to a state program.
Exactly.
But don't you want to blow those up? Isn't that what you're about?
That's what the word that you just used was state. I think we learned so much in all those years of welfare where we provided subsistence for people who were needy, but we didn't provide them a means by taking care of themselves. And when we sent it back to the states, there was enormous savings because it was not such this huge bureaucracy eating up the funds in Washington. It went back to the states, and each state knows they have different problems. You know, every state is different. And so they could address it, and we learned
those state programs are in big trouble now.
And now they certainly are, unfortunately, and I am very much supportive of a change in policies, economic policies, so we get people back to work. The key is we need to have jobs. I mean, if no one has jobs out there, obviously single moms are going to be hurt as well as everyone else. So key is to get the economy growing again. But to get back to single moms, you know, only 30% of single moms, I believe, are in that level of neediness, in poverty, or on the line thereof. The other 70% are not. And each year, more and more single moms are coming to the forefront. The key is that we do what we can. And in communities, if you may not be single, but you might have a single mom friend, what can you do? Do you know some jobs that she could do? Do you know what kind of training that you might be able to help her with? Maybe you can watch her children a night or two and help her find that kind of a program. You know, single moms are the most determined, committed, dedicated, hardworking people I know. They're great employees because they don't want anything. They want security, and they want to be able to have a family-friendly environment, and businesses are wise to hire them. So
Great employees because they don't want anything, but they do. They do want things.
They want to provide for their families, right? When I say they don't want it, they want security. They're not going to be looking for another job. They're not going to be complaining about. They are going to commit themselves to that job. Work as hard as they can, and if you just create a family-friendly environment so they can get home and maybe sneak off and see their child in some kind of an entertainment program at the school occasionally and be there if somebody is sick, you know, be able to stay home with the kids.
Family-friendly environment. Sounds kind of liberal, but we'll come to the politics. People are really interested in the Amanda in Charleston, South Carolina. Amanda, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that it's for single moms, the thing for me is that if I didn't have financial and emotional support of some really wonderful people, including my family and some friends, then some of the other negative stuff like constant litigation with exes and just other people working against you when you're just trying to make a life would completely bring me down and I'd be completely devastated.
But you've got family who are what supporting you emotionally, financially, both, Amanda? What?
Both. I'm not being completely supported by my family financially, but whenever I've needed to call off work, and of course you lose money when you don't go into work, I've had people to help me make up for that. And just emotionally, you know, I've been divorced 3 years, and I feel like I'm in constant litigation. I just had a two-day trial about it, and it's just, if you don't have a good support system, then I don't know how anybody makes it.
Yeah, Amanda, I appreciate your call very much. Let me get one more, and we'll bring Bay to it. But New Haven, Connecticut. Paul, you're on the air. Hello, Paul. Are you there? Well, let's get Brian in Norwich, Connecticut. Brian, you're on the air with Babe Buchanan. Thanks for calling, Brian.
Hi, Tom. I love your show.
Thanks.
And I'd just like to say that if it wasn't for the conservative aspect of your guest, it would be like talking with my mom. Grew up raised by a single mother,
mm-hmm.
and everything that she said was exactly what my mother did. No dating, still hasn't dated, 78 years old. 40, you know, if it was 40 years ago when the divorce occurred. Never heard a bad word about my father. Whenever my father did call, which was his choice pretty much not to, there was always encouragement, if you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. There was no playing teams or sides or bad-mouthing my father for whatever I found out later that he did do. Those decisions were left up to me, and my opinion of him were later formed as an adult, which I'm thankful that, in fact, didn't have him in my life because not the kind of person I really wanted to hang around with.
Okay. How did it ultimately work out for you, Brian? Did your mom get you to where you needed to be, as a guy growing up being raised by a single mother?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, we had my grandfather, my uncles. We were on food stamps. We did have a house. Albeit, you know, I don't know what her mortgage was, but it was probably under $100 a month. She didn't work until I was in middle school. She
mm-hmm.
was a registered nurse. She worked for a school system. So she was there. Her hours were my hours. We had vacation. She had vacation. We did not live high in the hog by any stretch of the imagination. I knew growing up that we had a place, safe place to live, and we were provided for, but we were not like other kids. And that was A-OK because we had the nurturing aspect that led me to the adulthood.
Hey, Brian, conservatives go after President Obama on food stamps. Babe Buchanan
right.
is right in the forefront of that conservative movement. What about that? What if they weren't there? What if they hadn't been there for you?
If it wasn't here for me and my brother, I don't know what we would have done. My grandfather did, who was also retired at the time, didn't have a lot of money. He bought food and helped us out. They should be there for people who need them. There are abuses. I agree with that 100%, but it should be a safety net, and if you need them, they should be provided for you.
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate your call. Bay, you've got a couple right there, including Brian, who counted on those food stamps that President Obama gets attacked for.
Tom, I agree. I agree entirely with the caller. A safety net is exactly right. It should be there. And then when you receive that kind of help, there also should be counseling and advice and a path to help you to be able to take care of you and yourself and your family on your own. It brings great pride. I really do believe that. But I think there's a couple other points that this caller made, mm-hmm. which are superb. His mother, obviously, is just a great mom, and she did. She was there. She sacrificed enormously for him, and that's what you have to do. You have to just forget about yourself and completely commit your time, your energy to your children. And that's where the sacrifice comes in. But there's another thing he indicated. Because they don't have a dad in their home and likely don't have and depending on the relationship they have with their dad, I found that because having a dad in the home was so important, and all the statistics show that children thrive better if they have a two-parent family, then I made certain that my kids had role models, had strong male role models. And that seems to be what the caller had, too. He had his grandfather nearby, somebody who is a very strong figure in his life. This is what single moms have to do. They have to make certain you surround your kids with people that can teach them the lessons that they are not learning because there's not a father in the home. Expose them to your... I was fortunate enough to have a brother who has a great big family, and my youngest son, Stuart, as close as he can be to his cousin, Anton. And I made certain he spent a lot of time at that home so he could see how it worked. What is it like to have a dad? How does he treat his wife? How does he treat his children?
But you had to kind of take you had to take some lumps from the conservative sort of straight up ideology. You write, Bay, liberal too. You say didn't serve you so well, but some of our listeners are picking up on that. Here's one who says, "Well, if we take a conservative standpoint, she, Bay, should be held at fault for damaging her children by raising them in a single parent household." It's interesting she supports an ideology that considers her choices to just be wrong. And you say you did hear that from the conservative side.
I agree that this is where I think the mistake was. First of all, I would say most single moms, it's not a choice. You know, I know that many choose it, but in my book, I don't care how you became a single mom. That's past. But what I felt as I was, and this is why I wrote the book, this was something I felt very, very strongly about, is as I raised my children, the message from conservatives was they would get these studies, these statistics, and they would make a case, again, why dads are so important to be in the home? Why family, that traditional family, is so critical? And Tom, the statistics are overwhelming. You cannot argue that children being raised by a single parent are three or four times more likely to get into drugs, to fail school, to be incarcerated. I mean, the list goes on.
But there you were.
It's devastating. And there I was. And I used to say, as I heard them, okay, I agree. It's clearly preferable to have a dad in the home. But what if you don't? What's your message to single moms? What's your message to me? Surely we care about this, that their children are successful as well.
How did that go over with your conservative friends? Do they really want to hear that? I mean, they'd like you as a person, but there's a position here, too.
I internalized it for years, mm-hmm. and I used to, you know, and I'd say, what is the message? And Tom, the left would be like, you're a victim, you need government help. And I'd be, I am not a victim. I am a mom, and I am responsible for my family, and I will figure out a way to take care of them. But why doesn't somebody say, you can do this? It's going to be tough. It's brutally challenging. I knew that. But you can do it. Encourage me. Where was the message of hope for single moms? Where was the guidance, the ideas that, hey, if there's not a dad in the home, here's some things you might do that will really help you keep that family together, to build a strong bond, to give them a sense of security that might have been shaken badly by the fact that their dad is no longer there. Where was this message that could help other single moms? That's why I wrote this book. This is for all single moms. It makes no difference to me what your politics are. And I find it unfortunate, terribly unfortunate, that we try to divide moms and at-home moms to work moms, single moms to married moms, because all of us are fighting for our children. That is what it's about. We have so much in common. And we need to support one another, help one another in all the ways we can.
You know, I agree, Bay, but you are seen because you are out there as a real political crusader here. And people know what your political message is. And we've got some listeners who just can't figure out how to add it up. I mean, John is listening to you. You say you're in the station wagon at Yosemite. And I mean, who can't sympathize with that? A single mother, she's determined to get her kids on a vacation. But John's listened to you and your political ideology. He says, why is she vacationing on public lands? He doesn't believe that you really support the kind of thing that you were taking advantage of there.
Oh, that's silly. We have a lot of hunters.
How small do you want government to be? You know, Yosemite's part of it.
Of course, we support the beautiful parks and
really, they're
the
in terrible
there.
Disrepair.
Absolutely.
Their budgets are falling apart. The national parks are in trouble.
Yeah, listen, the national parks deserve attention and service, and I'm the first to admit that. So, but you know, and if you want to go and have a political discussion of where we need to cut, but clearly, Tom, if you want to talk about the federal government, it is way too big. We are a $1 trillion deficit year after year after year. But the bottom line is, first and foremost, I am a mom. That is how my life has been dedicated to those children. And if I can help other single moms, that is what I want to do, and that's why I wrote this book. And as I said, it's good for all parents. I have grandfathers writing me saying, wow, this was a terrific book. And I have fathers and mothers who are married saying, I have gotten so much really good advice from this. And I tell it through stories. So it's enormously entertaining to read and to be reminded of your own life as a mom or as a child of
mom. Babe Buchanan, raising three boys, two very young sons and one on the way when divorce papers landed on her doorstep. Billy, Tommy, Stuart, all grown up now, and she's telling her story. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about life as a single mother and American politics with conservative pundit Bay Buchanan. Her new book is Bay and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mother. She joins us today from Washington. Bay, we've got a lot of response for you. I want to go right to, we'll get to a little more politics, but I want to go right to love life. You say, put your kids ahead of your love life. You say, this is the greatest sacrifice at all, and there's no way around it. Dating, you write, dating doesn't work for single moms. For lots of reasons. Really? All those years? Can that really be right?
Absolutely. It's right for me. I know that much. And I think it's right for many other single moms. And I think it's unfortunate they are often encouraged to go out and try to find somebody else.
Why
in
not?
Your life.
Don't they deserve some love? And maybe that brings a man or a partner anyway into their lives.
No, I think the key is you've got to put the kids first. And you either make that decision or you don't make the decision. But if you really want those children first, this is how I saw it. There's two parts to this, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
One is Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. These are times I met a wonderful man, just a wonderful man after the divorce, and started to see him just a little bit. And I realized Friday night he wants to go out. And I'm thinking, well, my kids are – I can't see them Monday through Friday except to come home, feed them, and get them to bed. And my most relaxed time, my quality time is Friday. And Saturday. And of course, this man wants to see me play a little tennis.
Sure.
Saturday afternoon. Well, that means I'm taking my quality time away from my kids, the limited amount I have, and giving it to someone else. I couldn't do that to them. Then the second part is I certainly wasn't going to introduce them to a new man in their life and then in hopes of maybe developing a relationship to be close enough so that we might get married.
Why not?
Before I married. Well, because if it didn't work out, Tom, these men come and go. You know, something could happen and it doesn't work out and the kids become so attached and it's like a divorce to them and it becomes two or three
all over again.
Men coming in and I saw what this did to them. I saw and they were so insecure about something happening to me or me leaving them or not being there, and I just said, this doesn't work. I have to give them my best time, my best hours, and that's the weekends and Friday night.
But not even a chance at another relationship for you then or another father figure right in the family for them.
Well, Tom, hold up, it's high risk.
Yeah, I get it. We got listeners. Rashad in Burlington, Vermont, you're on with Babe Buchanan. What do you think, Rashad?
Hi, Tom. Great show. Hi. I totally disagree with your host. Let me tell you why. I'm the product of a single motherhood.
Yes.
And my mother dated, you know, from about the time I was maybe around 9, 10 years old.
How did it work? Was it okay for you?
Well, you know, it was sort of hit or miss. You know, I had to learn that my mother needed more than just me. And that was so important. And it demonstrated to me that while I'm vastly important to my mother, she also needs an entire life, right? She needs friends in her life. She needs love in her life. She needs sex in her life. And I could not do all of that for her. And by having all of that, it made my mother much more well-rounded, and it made her better person. And it also demonstrated to me the importance of friends, love, and sex.
All those things. What do you say, Babe?
Hang
on, Rashad. Babe, you can't. Our time is short. What do you say to that?
I say that, you know, the kid, when you're a single mom, you don't have someone else to be there, and that the kids need you. They need all of you, and that the sacrifice is worth it because it gives the kids such a sense of security. And when you say love, there's no greater love that you can build than the love between inside that family unit. And if you're fortunate enough, for instance, at work, you meet somebody and you're able to develop that relationship and not take time away from the kids, and then you think maybe it can go forward, but you got to be ready to say, this is 3 to 4 months, we'll see if we're going to get married. But if year after year after year, different guys come in your life, you're spending Friday nights with them, Saturday afternoon.
Maybe that was you, Babe.
Kids are bounced around.
Yeah, but maybe that was a Catholic upbringing and a certain sort of, I don't know, tightness around these issues. You can hear a different perspective in Rashad's view of the world. And he was the son there.
He was the son, and what he heard is he had to get used to the fact that his mom had other interests, his mother had different things she had to do. When you
made her
friends,
well-rounded,
why,
he says.
Well-rounded. I am such a better person and was far better mom when I became a single mom because the commitment was whole then. And my greatest concern was that I would know I gave my kids everything so that when they grew and made their own choices, that they carried with them the values that I felt so deeply and that I fought to instill them in them, that they would be able to be the young men that they were meant to be. And I never wanted to fail on that. And I certainly wasn't going to risk a couple nights, Friday nights out. I'll tell you, there's no better fun than me with John Wayne and my kids on a Friday night in front of the television set.
Blast. Hey, we know the fun with kids. It is fantastic. But Rashad, we've got your angle there as well, and I appreciate you raising it. One more. Ann in Winooski, Vermont. Ann, you're on with Babe Buchanan.
Hi, Babe. I must say that listening to you today, I agree with just about everything you're saying. I'm a single mom of 3 children. I lost my job about a year and a half ago.
Sorry.
And I have been unable to find another job. My job was incredibly flexible, so I was home with my kids whenever they needed. And trying to find a job today that has that same flexibility has been unsuccessful. So my focus has always been on my kids. I have no interest in dating. I have no interest in, I have extracurricular activities, but they're during the times when my kids are in school. I volunteer, but if my children have something at school, I'm there. I help to coach. We do things together on weekends, and I would never want to give that up because I know later there's going to be time for me.
So, Ann, what are you thinking when Bay says, find another job and be sure that it's one where you've got the flexibility to do what you need to do as a single mom? What are you thinking, Ann, when you hear
that? What am I thinking about that?
What do you think of that advice? I mean, does it work for you? Is that what you're going to do, got to do?
That's what I'm trying to do, yes. And, you know, I've had, recently a number of interviews and a number of offers, and I've turned some down because it's not going to work. My schedule for my children.
Yeah.
I need to be there on particular days at home, especially in the summer. And right now I'm doing work for friends, and I get a little bit of support from parents, but I rely somewhat heavily on the government assistance that I get, which is just simply unemployment since I did lose my job, and some food stamps. But it's not, I'm not relying that heavily. I mean,
what if those weren't there? What if those were cut down? Those make everything work. And we've got that.
You know,
yeah.
Tom, it's very entertaining. You're always like, well, what if there's none? No, not Republicans, not Democrats have ever suggested to eliminate the safety net. We do agree with the safety net.
I've seen great big cuts headed for it in all kinds of dimensions.
Absolutely.
And I've heard Republican candidates very explicitly go after President Obama for food stamp use. And we've seen also efforts to cut the length of unemployment available to people.
Yeah. This is, and that is an excellent point, because a lot of people will just not take jobs because they can stay on that unemployment
longer.
Does
Ann sound like a slacker to you?
No, she sounds to me like a very dedicated mom who wants to make certain that the job she settles on is one that she can do both things, provide for herself and provide and be there with her kids. And that is critical. And the sacrifice, that's why I think moms are such strong people. We do sacrifice for children. We do it all the time, and we don't even see it as sacrifice. Whether it be in our work, whether it be in our social life, whether it be in what we do with our free time, we're constantly focused, and we're finding that extra resolve deep inside us. Tom, you know, when you end the day and you have these great kids and you finally get them to bed, and sometimes they're not clean, sometimes you didn't get the food for the morning yet, you're just behind constantly, but you go to bed and you have no one to share the little joy, that funny expression your son said, or something that happened, or something you did that just fell apart,
it's,
and you start laughing at yourself. It's just you. And you find enormous resources within yourself to say, this is okay. I am doing this, and I'm going to make it
work. And a little help makes it possible. We're hearing that from our listeners. One more. Vince in Farmington, Connecticut. Vince, you're on with Bay Buchanan.
Tom, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been so impressed with so much of what Bay's had to say, and with the passion with which she speaks about the importance of having intact families whenever possible, and approximating that experience for children when that's not possible. My question is, does she take that passion to advocacy for same-sex marriages, same-sex couples, so that children of same-sex couples have the same likelihood of enjoying a two-parent home that children of traditional families enjoy.
Yeah, what about it, Bay? Two parents there, maybe same sex, but somebody to talk to at night, somebody else in the house to help raise the kids. What about it?
This, as I make it very clear, I am for children succeeding and thriving, and I've written a book that works for all parents. I don't care what their background or their philosophy or their sexual orientation. This book works, I believe, for all parents. It's from my perspective, it's what worked for me.
Gay marriage, commitment, what about it?
I'm all for commitment. I do not believe, if you're asking me, I am opposed to same-sex marriage. I'm opposed to gay marriage, a position that the president took for up till about 3 days ago. But that's my position. But that doesn't mean that when you become a single parent, we're all in the same boat. It makes no difference to me how you got there. And if you're a parent, any parent, I want to see you succeed. And if you can get some encouragement or some feeling of guidance, if you like, or some fresh ideas on how best to bring that family together, to have a family
center home. What about help from a gay marriage partner? What about help there, right there, in that way?
What do you mean help?
Help
from a gay marriage partner. I mean, it sounds
as though... Listen, if I have a neighbor down the street and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and my kid is sick and I have some friends down the street that can watch my kids while I'm off to the hospital, you're daggone right I'm calling them, and it doesn't... They're friends. I don't see them...
But not a marriage partner who's gay but yet will help you with that job? That's off limits?
Nothing is off limits. People, you know, as a single mom, you have to make certain you find the kind of structure, the support you need. And I don't think you go around and check to see what people's sexual preference is in order to do that. You can find them everywhere, in your neighborhood, in your family. You can find them at church or at work, but you have to find them. I used to go to, and I have a lot of pride, to say the least. Most of it's been wiped out of me by these kids. But, you know, you go to a daggone soccer, I'd be like a daggone agent. You know, I'd go and I'd there and I'd search for other parents that might be able to help me take my kids to and fro the next practice, because I knew that this was going to happen. I would not be able to take three boys to three different games on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I had to find them. So I would start talking and find people that could help me. And when you say, which ones help me, anyone willing to help me, amen to that.
Babe Buchanan's new book is Bay and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mother. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. She, of course, political strategist, pundit, and senior advisor to Mitt Romney. I'm sure you'll see a lot more of her in this year as the Romney campaign rolls ahead. There's just some of her own life to think about as that comes before you. Bay, joining us from Washington today, thank you so much for being here.
Tom, it's been my pleasure entirely. Thanks so much for having me.
In a moment, celebrating Mother's Day with a twist for a single dad. This is On Point. On Mother's Day, millions of phone calls, cards, gifts, flowers will be sent to well-deserving women all over the country. Back in 2006, we heard from Santa Fe resident Robert Wilder about why he honors his father on Mother's Day.
Like any son worth his salt, I have a note on my calendar in June to call my dad Ben on Father's Day. But unlike other men, I also have that same reminder scrawled on Mother's Day the month before. I think that call on Mother's Day actually means more to Ben because it acknowledges the beyond-the-pale sacrifices he made raising four boys on his own. He wore a lot of hats in our household while we were growing up, and when I call him on both Father's and Mother's Days, I let him know how much I appreciate all the ways he tried to be both the hand that rocked the cradle and the one that held the hammer. Even before my mother, Joan, died of cancer in 1983, my father performed more home duties than the other dads he rode the Metro North with. My mother's job was to defrost the ingredients for that night's meal, and my father would come home, put his briefcase down, change out of his Brooks Brothers suit, and enter the kitchen with his sleeves rolled up. With one hand he mixed a Beefeater Gibson, and with the other he whipped up a diner-worthy spaghetti and meatballs, or liver and onions. Since my father had always shouldered a lot of the responsibility around our house, it's hard to pinpoint what he did differently after my mother died. Obviously, there was a huge gaping hole in our lives. There still is. And although nothing could replace my mother's quiet kindness or artistic sensibility, my father tried. He showed deep interest in our friends, especially the girls, and attempted to create the Dear Abby refuge that my mom would have provided. He would often talk to my girlfriend when I wasn't even in the room, asking her sincere questions about her life, what she planned to do with it, and how he could possibly help. He gave all my female friends affectionate nicknames so they would feel welcome in a house where laundry was collected in plastic garbage cans and the Wilder boys had to be reminded not to eat dinner in their underwear. Even now, my father calls and asks me how pretty Polly and her family are doing in Connecticut and dutifully sends cards and checks to his daughters-in-law on their birthdays, Mother's Day, and Valentine's Day, and condolences on their wedding anniversaries. Strong enough for a man, but detailed like a woman, we often say about my dad. The other thing I admire about my dad is how he never worried about his masculinity or whether he would be ridiculed for baking our town's best crustless cheesecake in a springform pan. He was always happy to play any role we needed to make our lives seem less damaged. My brother Tom was always the quiet one of the Wilder boys, and my mother's death didn't make him feel he had much more to say after that. He had many friends, though, and was asked by an older girl to attend a dinner at her house before a formal dance. A bunch of mothers were preparing an elaborate meal, and at the last minute one of the moms bailed. Tom asked my dad if he could step in and help prepare and serve with all the other moms. I understand my dad well enough to know that he would have canceled anything to help his son and his friends, and would have happily donned an apron and oversized oven mitts as if he had been part of the planning committee all along. Today, I think all of us Wilder boys try to carry on some of Ben's maternal traditions, though I have to admit, my dad can still cook rings around me, and aprons don't look that good on my 40-something body. But I've learned from watching my dad, and myself in his light, that defined gender roles have been cultivated mostly out of fear and blindness, not out of the kind of love I know a man can have for his children. I hope someday to be immortalized in a high school program the way my father was when my brother Eddie was a lead in Godspell. If you look on that page listing the cast and crew in that photocopy playbill, under the heading Cast Mom, it happily reads Ed's Dad.
Robert Wilder, who always calls his father on Mother's Day. Robert Wilder is author of Daddy Needs a Drink. He lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. First broadcast that essay of Robert's in 2006. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. And follow us on Twitter at On Point Radio. Be the first to find out tomorrow's topics and guests by going to our Facebook page, On Point Radio. Hit the like button there and you'll get reports on upcoming shows right there in your news feed. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.